Let's read together Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. Now, in this section of Romans 9, we have the answers to the two leading and most logical questions that are raised in the human mind when the doctrine of God's sovereignty is taught. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? All right, let's begin with some background notes. Romans chapter 9 is one of the most difficult chapters in the Bible. It's not difficult because it's hard to understand what is being taught here. It's difficult because it's hard for the human mind to submit to what is being taught. The fact that the Bible teaches that God chooses some people to be saved and does not choose other people to be saved is not easy to handle. There's still that reluctance in our natural minds to give God the first and the last word concerning our destinies. Somehow we're convinced that in our own human moral strength and natural love for goodness and God, that we would have chosen God and come to faith on our own. But that is not the teaching of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2 indicates very clearly that apart from life in Christ, every human being is dead in trespasses and sins and walking according to this satanic world system. Now, folks, that is not neutral ground, is it? No one in that condition will choose God. You may talk about free will, but a person in that condition has a will that is inclined away from God. And that includes everyone, since Adam and Eve. So God must make the first move if anyone's going to be saved. And that's exactly the point of verse 11 in the example of Jacob and Esau. Romans 9, verse 11. For the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Not much room for free will there, is there? Well, now, what's the first logical thought or question that comes to your natural mind at this point? That's not fair. If God does all the choosing, then somehow that's not fair, and God is unjust. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul anticipated our question here in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? The fact that we came up with the very question that Paul anticipates here shows that we did not misunderstand the teaching here. You follow that? More we could say there, but we need to move on now to the doctrinal points. Doctrinal point or teaching point number one is this. God's sovereign choice does not make God unfair. God's sovereign choice does not make God unfair. Verse 14, once again. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. The fact that God chooses some for salvation and does not choose others for salvation does not make God unjust or unrighteous or unfair. Why not? Verses 15 and 16. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. The key word here is mercy. The scripture quoted here in verse 15 is from Exodus 33:19, where God showed mercy to the people after their idolatry in the golden calf incident. And the point here is that God would have been just and righteous and fair in wiping out the whole nation for their gross sins of idolatry and immorality. But he showed mercy. It was his sovereign choice. And the same is true in our case. We deserve nothing but the wrath of God. But in his mercy, God chose some to be saved. God's sovereign choice does not make God unfair. Illustration. Let's say 10 people owe you money of varying amounts. No one can pay, but you choose to cancel the debt of 4 of these people. Not because of anything they've done for you, just your sovereign choice. You didn't have to choose anyone. Are you unjust or unrighteous in any way? No. It's your sovereign choice. Remember, justice would have been that all should pay. Now, just in case we didn't follow Paul's first example, the Holy Spirit had him give us another example. And this one's even a little tougher to handle. Verses 17 and 18. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Wait a minute, did I read that correctly? Does the Bible say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? And now Paul is applying that to everyone? Yes. Now before you rip this page out of your Bible, go back to the account of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 4. You will find there that the scripture says that both Pharaoh hardened his own heart as well as God hardened his heart. Now, how do you harmonize those two concepts? Easy. God allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. You see, if God does not choose to act in mercy and leaves a person to his own choice, that person will be hardened. No doubt about it. Because man's will is not neutral, but inclined away from God. So when Romans 9:18 says, whom he wills, he hardens, it's another way of saying, those to whom God does not show mercy, he allows to be hardened in accordance with their own sinful choices. And that does not make God unfair. God's sovereign choice does not make God unfair. Doctrinal or teaching point number 2. God's sovereign choice does not put God at fault. God's sovereign choice does not put God at fault. In verse 19, Paul anticipates our next question. If God chooses then to show mercy to some, and the ones that he doesn't choose to show mercy to will never find it in themselves to choose God, then can God find fault with man and still hold man accountable for not choosing God? Doesn't it seem like God is at fault somehow? Well, that's exactly what you have in verse 19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Now, once again, if we've logically come up with that question, it shows that we understand the teaching here precisely, whether we like it or not. Well, what's the answer here? Notice, first of all, what the answer is not. The answer is not that God looked down the corridor of time and elected those who would freely choose him. If that were true, Paul certainly would have used that argument here to show that man was at fault and that this question, therefore, was invalid. The question would thus be answered and laid to rest. But Paul doesn't answer the question that way, because that's not the way it is. Instead, the first point he makes is this: how dare you question God? Verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? And then comes the illustration of the potter and the clay. Verses 21 through 24. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? Now, to appreciate the teaching of this illustration, in view of what's been said already in the context, visualize a lump of clay on the floor, ready to go to the scrap heap. In fact, visualize the lump of clay sitting on top of a trap door in the floor labeled hell. The lump of doom clay obviously represents fallen humanity. Now the potter reaches down, and from that doomed lump of clay, he takes some clay and makes some beautiful plates and cups to put on his table. In the illustration, these are the vessels of mercy, verse 23, that the potter had in mind to make from the beginning. Now from that same doomed lump of clay, the potter makes some waste containers to be used by the potter in his work for a time, and then put out on the scrap heap along with the rest of the useless hardened clay. These are the pharaohs and other ungodly figures of human history that God has used for his purposes. What's the point? The point is that God's sovereign choice does not put God at fault any more than the potter is at fault. God's sovereign choice does not put God at fault. And now one practical application. Let God be God. Let God be God. We've taken a look in this section of Romans 9 at the doctrine of the sovereignty of God in reference to man's salvation. It's not easy to understand and appreciate. But remember, it's not the whole story either. There is the doctrine of the responsibility of man taught in Scripture. And the Bible does teach that God answers prayer in reference to the unsaved. But the Bible also teaches, as we've seen, that God sovereignly elects to save some and not others. This is hard doctrine. Doctrine that must be endured, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:3. Let's not create God in our own image. Let God be God.